the analysis of the notes with Lucas and Clara from El Comercio from Ecuador.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're jumping into a really complex story, looking at Julian Assange's time, those 7 years, inside the Ecuadorian embassy in London. That was 2012 to 2019. And what we want to do today is unpack this, frankly, staggering claim. It's a criminal case Assange himself filed in Spain. And it's against the Spanish security company that was actually hired to protect him.
Right.
So this isn't just some contract dispute. We're diving deep into allegations of, well, state-sponsored spying happening inside an embassy.
Yeah. And it's crucial to understand right from the start, this isn't just about sloppy security. The legal filings talk about information being illegitimately obtained.
Illegitimately obtained.
Exactly. And then allegedly passed on through these sort of secret deals with U.S. intelligence figures. That really changes the whole dynamic from, you know, protection to active spying.
It really does.
And the severity. We need to be clear about that. Assange isn't asking for damages here, not primarily. He's pushing for serious prison time.
Yeah.
We're talking over 2 decades for the owner of the company involved.
20.
Yeah.
20 and a half years. That's the specific number demanded for the owner of UC Global, the Spanish security firm, that's being sought before Spain's high court, the Audiencia Nacional.
Yeah, 20 and a half years.
And the list of charges, I mean, when you look at what's alleged before this court, and this is the court that handles major national security international cases in Spain.
Right, yeah.
The list includes revelation of secrets, running a criminal organization, bribery, they call it cohecho, unlawful weapon possession, and even money laundering. It's quite a list.
It paints a picture of something really systemic, doesn't it? Like, that criminal organization charge suggests this wasn't just one bad actor, but a whole setup for illegal activity.
A structured operation.
Exactly. And it wasn't just the owner, apparently. The demands go down the management chain, too.
Mm.
They're also seeking 5 years for Michelle Wallimak, who was UC Global's head of operations.
Mm.
The charge there is specifically discovery and revelation of secrets. So multiple people involved, according to the complaint.
Okay. And there are financial damages mentioned, too.
Yes. A joint compensation of 30,000 euros. But what's interesting, as you said, is where it's meant to go.
Right. Not to Assange himself.
No. It's designated for an independent group called Platform for Information Freedom, which suggests, you know, the aim is partly about supporting that bigger principle of free information.
Okay, so we have these huge demands, serious charges. But the big question, I think, for anyone listening is how? How was this spying supposedly carried out?
Well, this is where it gets quite chilling, really.
Yeah.
The accusation claims the owner of UC Global signed these illegal agreements directly with U.S. authorities back in 2016.
Illegal agreements in 2016.
Right.
So that's the alleged starting point.
That seems to be the linchpin, yes. And following that, the owner allegedly ordered new cameras installed in the embassy. But these weren't just regular security cameras. They apparently had hidden audio recording capabilities, specifically set up, the claim goes, to siphon off sensitive information to his U.S. contact.
Isn't audio.
And it gets more sophisticated. The investigation apparently uncovered a system for remote access.
Remote access. What does that mean exactly?
It means, allegedly, that clients, perhaps in Washington, could tap in and watch the camera feeds and listen to the audio in real time.
Wait, real time? So live viewing and listening from potentially thousands of miles away.
That's the allegation.
Yeah.
Live, 24/7 access to conversations happening inside the embassy. Imagine trying to talk to your lawyers under those conditions.
That's extraordinary. It's less like surveillance and more like having a bug room with a live broadcast.
Precisely. And keeping that operation running, keeping the contracts, apparently required more than just tech skills.
Right. You mentioned bribery earlier, the cohecho.
Exactly. The investigation apparently also found evidence of irregular payments, bribes made to Ecuadorian officials. The purpose? To make sure UC Global kept that security contract.
So corruption was allegedly the grease in the wheels for the espionage.
That seems to be the connection drawn in the legal case, yeah.
Okay, and this leads us to the scope of who was being spied on. Because this wasn't just about Assange, was it?
No, not at all. The potential targets, if these allegations are true, are quite high profile.
The claim is that cameras captured private conversations between Assange and his legal team.
Yes, including his lawyer, Baltazar Garzon, the well-known Spanish judge. Violating attorney-client privilege like that is, well, it's a fundamental attack on the right to a defense.
Absolutely. If the other side knows your entire legal strategy in real time,
then the whole concept of due process just collapses. You can't prepare a defense under those circumstances.
But it went even further, didn't it? Beyond the legal
Oh, yes. Much further. The surveillance allegedly also picked up conversations with several Latin American leaders, current and former presidents, who visited Assange during his asylum.
And that list is, it's quite something. We're talking about Evo Morales, former president of Bolivia.
Rafael Correa, former president of Ecuador.
Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner from Argentina.
Dilma Rousseff from Brazil.
And Jose Mujica from Uruguay.
Yeah. Capturing private talks of sitting and former heads of state inside what's supposed to be a sovereign diplomatic space.
That just blows this up from a case about one individual into a major international diplomatic incident.
Completely. And it explains why others have gotten involved legally. Rafael Correa, the former Ecuadorian president, filed his own separate complaint.
What's he demanding?
He's asking for 13 years for the owner, 6 for the operations manager. And interestingly, he's asking for the complete dissolution of UC Global as a company.
Wow, shutting the whole company down.
His argument is that the company was hired to protect his family as well, but instead ran this espionage operation that severely violated their rights too. So the impact, he argues, goes way beyond Assange.
It creates this huge sense of distrust, obviously.
Immense distrust.
So just to remind listeners quickly, the backdrop to all this, Assange sought asylum in the embassy back in 2012. Why?
Well, he was facing, as he saw it, political persecution after WikiLeaks published that huge trove of classified U.S. documents in 2010.
Right, the documents about alleged human rights abuses, war crimes in Iraq, Afghanistan, Guantanamo.
Exactly. He feared extradition to the U.S. over those disclosures, hence seeking refuge in the embassy.
So this whole spying case unfolding within that context,
yeah.
What are the bigger implications here?
I think it fundamentally challenges the idea of diplomatic sanctuary. I mean, this Spanish case goes way beyond just a criminal trial, it asks. Is diplomatic refuge even meaningful anymore?
If you can be surveilled in real time by your own security.
Inside an embassy, yeah. Especially when it involves lawyers, journalists, diplomats, people who rely on confidentiality. The case documents actually list many of these individuals connected to Assange as injured parties themselves.
So the chilling effect spreads outwards.
Definitely. It impacts this whole network of people operating supposedly under the protection of international law and diplomatic norms.
So wrapping this up, this deep dive really exposes how digital and physical surveillance might have just completely erased the lines, blurring protection with, well, active spying. It potentially nullified the whole point of diplomatic sanctuary in this incredibly high-profile case.
It's quite a stark picture. And it leaves us with a really critical question, I think, for you listening.
Yeah.
If someone's seeking refuge inside a sovereign embassy, supposedly a safe space, can be monitored, recorded, listened to in real time, and by the very company paid to protect them, what does that really say about the security of any private or privileged communication, legal, political, journalistic in our world of pervasive digital surveillance?
That is definitely something to think about. A really profound question for our times. If you found this deep dive helpful, if you want more context on complex issues like this one, please do subscribe to the show. And maybe share it with someone else you think would want to be well informed. We genuinely appreciate your support.
Comment, subscribe, and share. More information at www.commerce.com.